Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live once again right here from our studios. And again, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning edition of our broadcast. We're looking forward to sharing some thoughts about Christ's sufferings. And then, of course, that's going to lead into, as the week continues to develop, our suffering along together with Christ. What does it mean? What does his sufferings mean? And how do we relate to his sufferings? And if we suffer as believers, what's the purpose behind that? Well, these questions and many more we hope to ask and answer live on this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And we want to welcome you, friends. This broadcast helps, we hope, pray for all believers to learn about their faith in a more practical way. And we hope that it will perform that as a goal and an objective. And my name is Pastor John Love. I'm joined this morning in the studio, as we typically do each and every Wednesday morning, by Pastor Barry Quirk. And we hope to develop this theme together with you, our listeners, and we want to invite you to join the broadcast as well. We will keep the phone lines open during the entire broadcast today. It'll be your opportunity to join us live and to weigh in and to share your thoughts about this all-important subject. Here are the telephone numbers. If you'd like to pick up that phone and join us, it's quite simple. Dial 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number anywhere and everywhere in North America. And if you're listening locally in the greater Baltimore area, you give us a call at 410-483-3700. We do want to take this opportunity right from the get-go to remind our listeners locally that tonight's our midweek service, which begins promptly at 7 p.m., and we encourage you to come out and join us. You know, we've got a series of Christmas messages that are being preached about throughout this month, leading up to our celebration of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to invite you to come out and join us tonight for our midweek service, 7 p.m. Everyone's welcome. Come on out, bring your family, your friends, your neighbors, perhaps the people you work with. Invite them to a church service so that they can hear about our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have a great night tonight. And we also want to mention that earlier, before the service tonight, 5:45 p.m. to be precise, all of our young children in the Greater Grace Christian Academy, even in the nursery program, they're all going to be sharing their Christmas message in song. Yeah, it's a GGCA musical, and it's, again, Christmas-themed, and we want to invite you to come out and join that as well. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. The kids have been working so hard, so much practice, so many hours put into the performance for this evening, and again, that begins promptly at 5:45 p.m., and then, of course, we invite you to stay with us for the church service, which begins following that production at 7 p.m. And again, everyone's welcome. There's no charge for this, friends. We just hope you'll be able to make it out and just be blessed by the ministry of all those young people that have worked so hard to put that program together. Well, our theme, as we mentioned a couple of moments ago, the sufferings of Christ. And I think, Pastor Barry, that most of our listeners would say, I'm quite certain that I know why Christ suffered, but hopefully we can shed a little bit more light on this all-important theme.
Yeah, suffering's quite a topic to think about, and I put the two together with the musical tonight. My office used to be next to the music room, and when they first learned how to play, I suffered regularly hearing all those tunes, but we make light of it. But, suffering is a topic that is actually a heavy topic, and many have suffered, and the sufferings of the Lord, you know, and what does it mean for us to fellowship in those sufferings? Why is it important that we fellowship in those sufferings? What are some things that we can hope to see as an outcome of fellowshipping in his sufferings? And do we even know what that entails? And this week earlier, as you mentioned, many of the shows have been on different aspects of suffering and the role that suffering plays and why suffering is important. And for us today, being able to say, what does it mean to fellowship in the sufferings of Christ? I think it's a great topic. One thing that comes to mind right off the top Pastor Love, is knowing somebody. You know, like, do we get to know him more than just a surface knowledge, but do we know him intimately? And I was reminded of a story. I was on a class trip on the island of Crete, and we were walking around and enjoying some of the ocean front there, and I noticed this little kiosk, and there appeared two very definitely not Greek, super blonde hair, blue-eyed people who were holding up, who were operating in the kiosk, and I asked them, "Hey, how are you doing? What are you doing?" And they said, "Oh, we are here from Finland." So we had a couple of Finns that decided to take up shop on the island of Crete. And I said, "What are you doing? You're so far from home, and this is nothing like Finland. And what are you doing here?" And they said, "Oh, we're caring for the sea turtles." And I just stopped and thought about that for a minute. I said, "Wow, you guys must really love God in the sense that you would care for the sea turtles. You must really care about God." And they said, "Oh, no, we don't believe in God, but we're just, you know, we're here to take care of the sea turtles." And I said, "You know, somebody who spends all their time learning about the creation but not getting to know the Creator has a big problem." And I think one thing that suffering does is it allows us to have an experiential knowledge of who the Creator is.
This is a theme and subject that, you know, the Bible speaks of so often. And even Peter, when he wrote his first epistle, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse, it says that God is the one who has called us unto his eternal glory. And after you have suffered a while, that's almost, well, in the same sentence, you know, there's so much talk about the grace of God in that passage and suffering. How is it that the two can be connected? I mean, you know, someone might say, well, if God is going to only deal with me on the basis of his grace because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, why is suffering necessary? Why do we have to endure it as believers? I mean, if Christ's sufferings was a sufficient payment for our sins, why do we have to suffer?
Yeah. Well, again, I think the Apostle Paul does a great job of explaining it in Philippians chapter 3 and a few different aspects of it. We look at, well, we can look at verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And, you know, Christ died and sacrificed himself for our sins, but there is a relationship to be had with Christ and a fellowship that we have with Christ in his sufferings that really lead us to getting to know God experientially and also to partake of his glory. You know, we see 2 Timothy 3:12 says that participating in the fellowship of Christ's suffering was really part of our preparation for sharing in his future glory. And Paul explained this to Timothy and said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." One of the byproducts of following after the most persecuted person in the history of the world is that we also sometimes suffer the same kind of consequences, but we are able to identify with Christ, and we can count it a privilege to be able to do so.
Without a doubt, suffering is part and parcel of what it means to be a believer. And it's so interesting because you pointed out that Paul, in all of his epistles, talked, and in some cases rather extensively, about suffering, even dedicating an entire chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about some of the things that he suffered personally. But even long before that, prior to God calling him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, when after meeting Christ and being blinded in that conversion experience, he was sent to the house of Ananias. And Ananias, when he heard that Saul of Tarsus is a believer, and he's coming here, he said, "This is a trick."
Yeah.
He said, "Lord, not so. I don't want to meet him because he's probably just going to tell me he's had a conversion experience, and then I'm going to be arrested and thrown in prison because of my faith." But the Lord said, "No, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then verse 16 of Acts chapter 9 says, and I got to show him the great things he will suffer for my name's sake.
Wow.
So right from the beginning, even prior to any suffering that Paul was to endure for the sake of Christ, God said, I've ordained it. It's going to happen. So when I read that passage, the message I get from God is simply this. Suffering is an essential and vital part of our spiritual growth.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. And the things that we suffer in Christ help us to see the deliverance of Christ as well. And, you know, there's a few people, you know, in society that are dedicated day and night to following after righteousness in the way that we do. You know, there's not a lot of people that would say, you know, I give up the things of this earth to gain the things of eternity. And I think in some ways that makes people very uncomfortable. And yes, we're vessels that are worthy for his use and for his suffering, and it's an amazing thing. But to think about that we could literally be, you know, looked at by people around us in a way that makes them maybe uncomfortable. We challenge their flesh. They don't like who we are. But what is it? It's Christ in us. It's Christ in us. The mystery of iniquity, the mystery of sin, is that it, you know, we are rebellious against the very thing that can deliver us from its suffering and consequences.
Yeah. And what comfort there is when we suffer that way for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of fulfilling the Great Commission. What comfort there is knowing that Christ is present with us and says, listen, I know what that's like. I've been there. Mm. It's almost like Jesus goes through the Garden of Gethsemane and suffers greatly there because he knew that someday we would have to go through our own Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And it's his way of saying, listen, I've been there. I've already experienced that myself.
Yes.
So I'm going to be able to comfort you. I'm going to be able to assist you and help you as you go through your sufferings. We find great comfort in that.
Yes.
We're not alone in it because Christ himself has gone before us.
Yeah.
And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who is first in line. Mm. He goes through it. He knows we're going to go through it. And that's how he's able to assist us, help us, and guide us through it ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And what does he ever ask of us that he himself had not had to accomplish already? And you're right, there's such comfort in the fact that knowing whatever I suffer in this earth is pale in comparison to what he suffered. In many ways, the physical excruciating death of Calvary, and you know, maybe later we can talk about why it had to be so excruciating and what that meant, but also the spiritual separation from his Father, you know, and I think that was probably one of the most anguishing things for him on the cross, that he was literally separated from his Father and had his back turned upon him because of the consequences of taking on our sin. That righteous gift, you know, puts me in a place where I have a freedom and a liberty that never could have experienced without his suffering, and also teaches me how to suffer well in situations where it will bring glory to him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, because we do need to put our own suffering in perspective.
Yes.
And I think that that's what's brought out in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the writer to the Hebrews says we should be looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then I love verse 3. It says, consider him. And that word consider means consider by way of comparison.
Mm.
Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds.
Wow.
Now, that's amazing because it's God's way of saying, yes, you'll suffer as a Christian, but when you do, just think about what he suffered when he was on that cross, the contradiction of sinners.
Mm.
That way, when you do that, when you make that comparison, you're not going to faint. You're not going to be wearied. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, and by the way, you haven't yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, this is what might happen to us. Somebody said something bad about me. They found out I was a Christian. Yeah. Somebody said, oh, you don't want to talk to them. They're one of those Jesus freaks.
Yeah.
We're like, now, you know, I'm not welcome in the break room at the workplace. Now people are not so interested in talking to me. They don't want to share their jokes with me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, have we shed blood?
Right.
Right?
Right. What have I really suffered?
Yeah. When we compare what Christ experienced, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we sometimes become a little bit oversensitive to what we're going through.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember the cross and what he endured. And that'll put our suffering in perspective. And I don't want to downplay the suffering that you may be going through as a listener today. It may be overwhelming, but I just think that what Christ experienced helps to put what we experience in perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the world is focused on me. There's actually a great news article that I think it was Fox had out recently by a Christian author. I believe his name is Dr. Jeff Myers, and he's from Summit Ministries out in Colorado. And I had the chance to hear him at an ACSI conference. And, you know, the emphasis of his article was literally that there are people who spend their entire existence concerned about how they, you know, they have been offended. I am the object. What's wrong with our society? I'm the object of all of the ills of society. It's all about me. And if you have a lot of people thinking about me, then you have nobody thinking about everybody else. There's never any resolution. And when we think about suffering and what has happened in our lives compared to the cross and compared to what Christ has done on our behalf, then it really is pale in comparison. And we do get this big chip on our shoulders and this big offense, and I can't sleep at night because so-and-so thinks ill of me. Really, what have we suffered? Have we suffered unto blood? I don't believe so.
Yeah. And we're just so grateful that Christ experienced the sufferings that he experienced, because, you know, we just need to know that. When we genuinely, authentically suffer, we have someone who comes alongside and identifies with us, understands us, and says, in effect, I have been there. I understand what you're going through, and I'm with you as you go through it, and you're not going to be alone in your sufferings. Mm-hmm. Well, friends, you can join us. The phone lines are open. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call, and we ask that you would maybe, you know, join us and talk about our theme. Let's stay on point, the sufferings that we experience, and the fellowship as a result of those sufferings that we enter into, because indeed we do suffer along with Christ. And as you pointed out, Pastor Barry, that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, you know, anybody that chooses to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Persecution is something that we need to understand. It's inevitable, and it's also incidental.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean it's inevitable because it's going to happen if you're a believer. Now, some people say, well, that's strange. I've never suffered as a believer. Well, my question was, does anybody know you're a believer?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they know you're a believer, you know, chances are you're going to catch that.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it's incidental. It's no big deal. You're going to get through it.
Yes.
You know, don't let it impact you to such an extent that it keeps you from moving forward in your faith. And remember also that you're not alone in that suffering.
Right.
1 Corinthians 10:13. You know, we're all going to face tests, trials, temptations that are so great that we wonder how we're going to get through them. But God says, listen, you're not going through this alone. I'm not only with you, but there are others that have experienced it as well.
Yeah. Amen. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And, you know, the issue of sharing in the glory of God, because, yes, 2 Timothy 3:12 says that we will, if we're godly people, we're going to suffer persecution on his behalf. And then Paul reiterates that when he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I it's not I that lives any longer, but it's Christ that lives within me in Galatians 2:20. The life that I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and really, Jesus follows that thought up in Matthew 16 where he says, if any man follows after me, let him deny himself and take up my cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will surely lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what profits a man if he shall gain the whole world and shall lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? You know, there's this whole principle of denying myself and taking up his cross. And, you know, taking up his cross means I have to fellowship in his sufferings. And we are not alone in this, and we are a group. And all of us have been in that situation where somebody said, oh, you're one of those holier-than-thou do-gooders. Because we're a Christian, or oh, you don't do this because you're a Christian, or you don't do that because you're a Christian, and you know those are such minuscule, minor things to suffer when we consider what it means to be a Christian, what it means to really have the life of Christ as our own. That I no longer live. I'm putting away the things that I might enjoy in my flesh temporarily to get something that's of a far higher glory. And I think really our suffering can not only be, you know, for the sake of Christ, but it can also be for the sake of the body. You know, somebody who watches me suffer and says there's a person that has an intimate relationship with God. In their suffering, they're glorifying God. They're staying faithful to God. We trust God. You know, there's such a quick propensity that if there's something wrong with me, I blame it on God. But actually, in the eternal value system, the things that I suffer give me an opportunity to reign with God far more than living in the flesh ever would.
Mm. And that suffering has a way of breaking us. And a broken vessel is a vessel that God loves to inhabit.
Mm.
So the suffering, again, can so often lead to brokenness. But brokenness, well, that's such, I mean, God says, listen, I'm the high and holy one who inhabits eternity, but I also dwell in him who is a contrite and broken spirit. So that brokenness is something that God longs for and longs to produce in our lives.
Wow.
Well, friends, we do want to, again, give you the numbers so that you can join us, 800-338-7060. That's toll free. You can dial that anywhere in the continental United States, North America as a whole, and locally in the greater Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. We're talking about this theme of suffering and what it means to fellowship the sufferings of Christ. And we can move on to another question, Pastor Barry, and that is, you know, what did Jesus' sufferings accomplish? Here's an interesting thought. I hear this often. Well, believers say, well, I'm so glad that Jesus can identify with me when I'm, you know, weary, when I'm misunderstood, when I'm rejected, when I'm hungry, all of these things and so many more. But I've heard believers say, well, if he could only understand what it's like when I fail, when I sin. You know, almost as if there's a disconnect there. Jesus can identify in all those other areas, but he can't identify with us in our sin. Friends, that's what the cross is all about.
Yes.
The cross is where Christ's sufferings for our sin was limited. That's where we find Christ actually not just suffering for our sin, but becoming our sin.
Yes.
As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Mm. So those sufferings which he experienced, not only in the Garden of Gethsemane, but then on to Calvary, what did they accomplish? Our eternal redemption.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Our reconciliation to the Father. Isaiah 55 says that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, we've heard that doctrine preached, the healing and the atonement, and that's not what we're speaking about here. But we are talking about something that was a sickness to us that kept us from fellowship from the Almighty God, and the fact that he did suffer an anguish on the cross. And by the way, the word the root word in crucifixion is the same root word used in excruciate. And really, this is an excruciating pain, a crucifixion, the most painful possible way that we could ever experience death, a slow, you know, just a horrendous death. And to think that God can't identify with me, he says, you know, that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, right? I believe that wholeheartedly in Hebrews chapter 4, that he is able to feel every bit and every piece of anguish that we've experienced, and yet gone a step above, and that he's endured and fulfilled all of that. And we, what have we suffered? You know, we place our trust in him. We have our day-to-day existence and our ups and downs, and then, you know, we have trouble. We have trouble.
Well, friends, you can join us. The phone lines are beginning to fill up. We're going to take Lauren's call. I think Lauren's joining us from upstate New York. Lauren, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yes, good morning, Pastor Love. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. And nice to meet that older gentleman that's who's there with you. I don't want to short him. I should say.
Pastor Barry.
Hey, I have a quick question for you before I ask you why I called.
Sure.
Are you going to be the chaplain for the Knicks this year?
Yes, we have already started to go up. The season is underway, and we've been up holding live chapel services already.
Okay, fantastic. Keep up the good work. Anyhow, the reason I'm really calling is I think about that statement that Paul made in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. It's in the first few verses where he says that they're able to comfort others because of the consolations that they received.
Yes.
Could you help me out a little bit with that? I think that has something to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I'll read it. It says, chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are also in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ." Mm-hmm. So it's Paul's way of saying, listen, the suffering that you experience, not only is it for your sake, for the purpose of your growth as a believer, as a child of God, and so that God can ultimately conform you into the image of his Son, but it's for the sake of others as well. In other words, how often we have used the suffering that God has brought into our lives to bring comfort into the lives of those who have suffered in a similar way. It's God's way of saying.
Well, you can identify.
Exactly.
You can. Listen, just between you folks and me, I have a friend. He's a minister, and a few months ago he lost his 8-year-old daughter, and I just hope that I see him once a week. I just think that he and his wife are doing well, and I hope that he's going to be able to encourage other people as time goes on.
I think that will happen. You know, when something like that happens, and I have never experienced it, but I understand when you lose a child, there's nothing quite like it. Mm-hmm. The suffering, I can't even imagine what it must be like. But you just know that even when it happens, God's provision is going to show up. And as time passes, you just believe that they're going to understand more and more, maybe not why it happened, but how God is using it and working things together for their good so that, well, who knows? I mean, how they will be able to comfort someone else who loses a child is so different and unlike someone who has never lost a child.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, man, gents, if I don't speak to you now or in the next few weeks, have a wonderful Advent season, okay?
Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for speaking with me. Bye, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah, boy, what a thought, you know, what a thought. We go through dark days, we suffer deep troubles, and most people that I've spoken to that have made it through the other side with something in their hearts, you know, I think of the different ones here in our ministry of lost sons and daughters and loved ones, and they really will tell you that it was the deep personal comfort that came from their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think to refer back to how we started the show that, you know, one of the benefits of suffering is that I may know him, right? But it's not just surface knowledge, but it's experiential knowledge. And I can fellowship with him in something that's very deep and very troubling, but he's the one who does the comforting, you know? I don't fellowship with Christ to comfort him. I fellowship with Christ because he is the source of my comfort.
Yeah, that seems to be the whole portion of Paul's letter, his second letter to the Corinthians in that first chapter. And he himself, his own personal experience in verse 9 was, we had the sentence of death in ourselves.
Yeah, boy.
So that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but rather trust in God who raises up the dead. I mean, that's incredible. I don't know that too many of us will ever reach that level of suffering like that of the Apostle Paul, but he said it wasn't wasted. And I think that that's an important principle to talk about today, mm-hmm. Together, Pastor Barry, and along with our listeners as well, is there is no such thing as suffering that's wasted in the life of believers. Mm. It does carry the potential, as we read a little bit ago in Hebrews chapter 12, that you could, through the suffering, you could become weary and mm-hmm. you could faint in your minds, not necessarily in a permanent sense, but, you know, you might have a fainting spell, spiritually speaking,
yeah.
because of the nature of suffering that you experience, but you can get back on your feet again by the grace of God. But what's the option to not responding by faith to experiencing suffering? I think it's to be worn out and to faint.
Yes. Yeah, and where is it? The portion is escaping me right now, but it says that we have this ministry, so therefore we faint not, right? The fainting happens when we don't have the ministry that comes from the Lord. You know, our refreshment comes from God. And you know, like we've all been in situations where we've had difficulties and troubles, and, you know, there is no set timeline on that. You know, grief is a horrific thing sometimes, and we don't even understand it. And we have to give ourselves an opportunity to experience it. And, you know, I've experienced it in a few different cases. But also, having a fellowship with God means I don't get stuck in my grief. You know, I don't get stuck in my troubles. I'm not bogged down in it. It has a purpose and a season, and I think that's clear in the Bible that there are specific times to grieve and to suffer, and that you shouldn't have a huge expectation of yourself during those times other than to be up and down in our emotions and to have just difficulty. But on the other hand, I know that God is faithful, and you said it, you know, we have need of patience, right? And that after we've suffered for a season, then we see the deliverance of the Lord. And to be patiently awaiting the portion of God means that we're sitting relaxed, comforted by the thoughts of God without expectation for ourselves. And, you know, one of the great privileges of being in the ministry, and I think actually we, now that I think about it, we had an experience along the lines, my mom was visiting us in Budapest, Hungary, stepped off of a bus and stepped into eternity, and it happened to be while you and our friend Dave was visiting, and God gave us a very personal, I remember sitting in my living room and just, you know, not having a lot to say, but being so comforted by your presence, by the presence of the Lord in that room, and just knowing that God is faithful for this situation, and he will be. And yes, it's painful, and yes, it'll be trialsome, and yes, it'll be troublesome, but in due season, he's going to lift us up. And that's just such a beautiful privilege as a believer to know that we have the fellowship of Christ, and it comes out in the body, and it's such a blessing, such a blessing.
You have to reflect back on the faithfulness of God in the midst of our suffering.
Yes.
It's just a reminder to us that when we look back and see how faithful God was when we suffered, it means that when we suffer again, we know that God will be present.
Yes.
We know that he'll get us through based upon those previous experiences and recognizing how faithful he was.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel in the lion's den, you know, David with the lion and the bear, and then facing Goliath, and all of these situations, there was a track record of God to look at and to say, God called, God is faithful, God will bring us through. And then if we can really see it like that, and you know, some people say, oh, you're just hiding your head in the sand, you're not dealing with situations head on. Well, no, we deal with them. We know they're real life situations. But how about if I get caught up in the glory of God? How about if I get caught up in what is the provision that God has for me in a trialsome situation? You know, he doesn't say, I'll fellowship with you just in the good times. As a matter of fact, sometimes when things are good, we need to have the fellowship with God where he says, hey, don't lose sight of who I am just because your situation's okay right now. Mm. But what a blessing to be able to fall on our faces before the Lord in the good times and in the rough times and have his faithfulness continue to come through.
Yeah. And it's such a, well, we hear so often that as believers, we need to forget the past.
Yeah.
But there's a legitimate time for you and I to reflect upon the past, and that's to look back and to see how good God was, mm. how faithful God was, how God came through again and again. When Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, he's talking about sin, he's talking about failure, yes. he's talking about his mistakes.
Yes.
Not talking about, you know, it's not right for a believer to reflect back upon how God brought them through their crises or their trouble or their tragedy. No, those are legitimate reasons why we should look back and reflect upon the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
When it comes to sin and failure,
yeah.
don't look in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Definitely yeah. don't.
Yeah, we can be left in you know, the fellowship of an old sin nature has an ugly outcome. And there are things worthy of our reflection and there are things that are unworthy of our reflection. And why spend our time that we have here on earth thinking and acting upon things that have zero profit and only leave us empty and dull.
Amen. So when we ask that question, what did Jesus' sufferings accomplish? Well, so much. We mentioned, of course, the finished work and the combined values of reconciliation, redemption, propitiation are wrapped up in that phrase, the finished work of Christ. Mm-hmm. What else did those sufferings accomplish? Well, it makes you and I acceptable to God in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It means that we're forgiven in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It means that there are no more marks, you know, on our record. I think it's Psalm 130, verse 3, that says, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, which one of us could stand?
Wow.
But there aren't any marks on our record, and that's because of what the sufferings of Jesus accomplished at Calvary.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. And then the chance to identify with God, to identify with Christ, and to be counted worthy to suffer on his behalf is such a beautiful thing. Knowing that, you know, that he went all the way to the completion. And I think, where's it, Philippians 1:29, it says that to suffer, you know, let me see, actually, it says, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. You know, that's an extra step of our fellowship and getting to know him and his intimacy, having a relationship that's not just surface, but having an intimate relationship with God and letting him have his way in our lives. Beautiful, beautiful thing.
And that's why the believer suffers.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that we cannot make any connection between our suffering and sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to suggest that the believer, if he or she invites sin into their lives, that they're not going to suffer the consequences.
Right.
But you're not going to suffer the punishment for
right.
those sins because Christ himself bore those sins in his own body on the tree. So you have to differentiate that kind of suffering. We'll suffer so that we can enter into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, but we're not suffering because of our sin.
Right.
So important.
Right.
Let's go to Jim next. Jim is joining us live in the Grace Hour in our remaining minutes. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful topic, and you guys are acing it totally. I wanted to share something that Dr. Stevens said about suffering, the founder of this radio show, Dr. Stevens. About suffering, he said, there's an anointing for suffering to help us to bear it.
Mm. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Jim, because that thought crossed my mind and I kept thinking to myself, you know, what was that one word that Pastor Stevens said about you and I when we suffer? He said that we have a ministry and an anointing in that area of our lives because we have suffered that way. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you know, it dawned on me, it brings in the anointing to suffer, brings in spiritual joy in the suffering.
It does. And again, to think that anyone who suffers as a believer, that's God's way of creating this capacity to minister to others, and they'll have that special anointing to reach others who suffer in a similar way, a way in which you and I might not be able to minister to them.
Yeah, we're a strange lot that we can have joy in the midst of our suffering, as you were just alluding to, Jim, and you know, you and so many others who have walked with God and had challenges in their lives and have decided to let God have his perfect way, we can laugh in the midst of troubles. We can have joy in the midst of dark days because ultimately God is accomplishing his purpose in us in a situation. And how about this, that Jesus is beautiful for our situations. Like, he can allow us in our situations to see the high and lifted up one. And that's really, you know, we are anointed in that sense. We are set apart in that sense, that we get to see the glory of God rather than the issues of our suffering.
Hey, I got one last quick thing. Dr. Stevens, again, the founder of this radio show, also mentioned that when we suffer, not because we smoked and we got cancer, but what he termed undeserved suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suffering is rewardable in heaven. Hello?
Yeah, that's it, Jim. You nailed it. Hey, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
God bless you. Yeah, I mean, as you said, we're a unique lot of people when you think that we can actually, as Paul wrote to the Romans, glory in our tribulation.
Yes.
And James put it a different way. He says we can celebrate or count it all joy when we fall into various and diverse trials. You know, only the believer can say, an unbeliever can't say that. An unbeliever can't say, you know, yes, I'm in trouble, but I'm not worried about it. I know all things are going to work together for my good. Well, he can't say that unless he's born of God.
That's right.
But the believer can say, even when trouble comes, even when suffering is being experienced, this is going to work together for my good.
Yeah.
What a promise.
Yeah, there's a whole nother level of our relationship with God that gets to be encouraged when we can learn to suffer with him and not, you know, apart from him.
Amen. Aretta, we're going to give you the last word on our broadcast on this Wednesday morning. Welcome.
Welcome, Pastor Love, and the other pastors. God bless you all for this wonderful job. Pastor Love, our suffering in this life is just light affliction, and it cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed when we see Jesus. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And Paul also said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us.
Wow.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, amen.
And isn't it interesting, Aretta, that the principle, the truth that we're talking about today, is always the same in the Scriptures. It's always suffering first, glory follows. We might want to reverse that and say, I'd like to start with the glory, but it doesn't work that way.
That's
in
right.
The kingdom of God, it's always suffering precedes glory.
Mm. You know the old hymn, Pastor Love? Some to the fire, some to the flood, but all to the blood of Jesus. No matter how you come, it's the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Everybody come in that one way, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Have a blessed week and a blessed day.
Thanks. And on that note, we'll wrap the program up today. Thanks so much, Pastor Barry, for joining us once again. And a quick reminder to all of our listeners, tonight's our midweek service, and our service is taking place at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in the Baltimore area. We've got a brand new paved parking lot, and you'll find the plaza at 6025 Moravia Park Drive lit up beautifully with the Christmas decorations. But best of all, come into the chapel and hear about the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. We hope you can make it. Join us tomorrow for the Grace Hour. at the same time.